squelching a snicker, but allowing himself a self-congratulatory grin, he set the stone over the chimney pipe. Only a few wisps of smoke escaped around the sides of the uneven rock. He sat there for several seconds, grinning and listening.
What the hell?
Something's blocking up the chimney!
Prophet turned to crawl to the front of the cabin, where he intended to order the men to surrender as they ran out the front door to escape the smoke. He hadn't moved more than a foot, however, when the sod and wood planking sank beneath him. Prophet froze, eyes widening.
Oh shit.
The roof sank still further. Then it opened up, and Prophet went through the hole like a man falling down a well. Stunned and aching, and trying to regain the wind the table had knocked out of him, Prophet turned on his side, throwing off rubble. He looked around the room, but the smoke was too thick to see anything but intermittent moving figures staggering away from the table, arms flung over their burning eyes.
What in the hell?
Law!
Knowing he'd be dead in seconds if he didn't react fast, he gained his feet, hunkered down on his heels, drew one of his two Colt 45s, and fanned the hammer, jerking in a complete circle as he fired. By the time the second gun was empty, the room was so full of smoke that Prophet couldn't breathe, and his nose, eyes, and lungs were on fire. He searched for the door, hitting solid wall several times before he found it. A slug tore into the ground a foot to his left. Turning, squinting his searing, running eyes back at the smoke-filled cabin door, Prophet saw a tall man with a savage face and a thin beard, staggering and taking awkward aim with a six-shooter. The man's shirt was covered in red, and blood dripped down his left cheek. Prophet dropped to a knee, thumbed back the hammer of his Colt, and squeezed the trigger.
Oh, shit!
The slug tore into a corral slat behind Prophet, who dropped his empty Colt and reached for the Arkansas toothpick on his belt. He flung the knife at the approaching gunman. Because of the ringing in his ears and burning eyes, his aim was off. The blade sailed over the man's left shoulder and clattered against the house.
Now what are you gonna do, you son of a bitch?
Prophet ducked, shoulder rolled to his right, and came up making a beeline for a water trough.
You're a dead man, whoever you are!
The bandit staggered after Prophet like a half-blind madman, gun raised and ready. Prophet cowered behind the trough. Hand shaking, he stuck out his right leg, jerked up his faded denims to just above his boot, and pulled the double-barreled Derringer he kept in a small homemade sheath strapped to his calf.
I'm gonna feel you so full of lead, you'll jingle when they drop you in the hole!
The gunman approached the trough. Prophet felt the burn of a bullet notching his ear. Wincing against the pain, Prophet brought up the hideout gun, forcing his burning eyes open, knowing this was his last shot, just as the bandit brought his own revolver up and was stretching a scraggly grin. Prophet's slug took the man through the throat, making a penny-sized hole. The man froze, his eyes widening. Automatically, he dropped his gun, bringing his hands to his throat. He was as good as dead, but to finish him, Prophet fired another round through the man's forehead. The man staggered sideways, took one step back, and fell on his face. Prophet stared at the man through his burning eyes, then at the cabin. Smoke billowed through the open door. Strings of it trailed out of the new hole in the roof. His shotgun was in there, but he'd wait for the smoke to clear before he retrieved it. Prophet looked around like a full-grown man newly born, trying to gather his wits. The past few minutes had passed so quickly and intensely that now, with it all over and finding himself still alive, he wasn't quite sure what to do with himself. His ears still rang, but the pain in his eyes was abating. Never a man to go long with unloaded guns, he sat on the edge of the water trough and thumbed brass into the chambers of his two Colts. As he worked, his swirling thoughts slowed steadily into backwaters, and he became aware of a numbing pain high in his back. Flexing his shoulder daintily, he realized he must have separated the damn thing when he'd fallen through the roof.
Oh, God damn it.
He'd found, through considerable experience, that a rope and a strong horse worked rather well at popping bones back in place.
Oh, hell of a day.